Doug, did you just feel like a professional podcaster there?
I felt like we need to call the AV department.
Unfortunately, we are the AV department. Guys, holy cow.
We just spent a moment.
Yeah.
Am I loud enough? Oh, yeah.
I think you're good.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe I'll move this bar. We use GarageBand, and Doug just asked me, Chris, who still uses GarageBand?
Does anybody use GarageBand?
We do. But... But I have a feeling
been discontinued for GarageBand.
Done. It's been a few weeks. It's been a bit, but that's okay because we are casual podcasters. And
it's not like my job.
This is what you get. But Doug rolled in. It's making me jealous. That looks like an espresso.
It is.
What kind is it?
What is it?
Yeah. What's your favorite flavor?
I don't know. It's the black little pods. I don't know.
Do you, like, get into the different flavor pods?
No.
No? You just order the same thing all the
same
time?
Same one. Like, give me, like I order my socks, Chris. I have 100 pairs of Rogue
black socks. Yeah, me too. But you don't like to venture out at all? Have you seen,
online,
different flavors they
because,
have?
Like, they're kind of a pain in the butt to order. And, like...
Do yours just come automatically or something?
No. Every whatever... I mean, when I run out, they offer you to, like, automatically renew, right?
Yeah,
to
I just don't
like
do that.
I don't want to do that because my coffee habit varies.
Yes.
So then I have to, like, go on to the app and figure out what I want and order them. And I just always order the same thing because I don't want to, like, one, the fancy flavors are often more expensive per pod.
They are.
And that's how they get you.
Yeah.
And then, like, well, if I'm going to spend $10 on this sleeve of things that I don't like... Just don't want to mess around with it.
Mm.
And I'd rather spend $7 on this sleeve of things that I know I like.
On the thing that you know is just the best ever.
Yeah.
I definitely found two that I really like. There's a chocolate one.
Okay.
Tastes like a little bit of chocolate in there.
Delicious.
So good. And then there's another one. I think it's a... What is it? I think it's a hazelnut one.
Oh, so you're like a flavor guy.
Well,
you're like International House of Coffee.
I guess so.
Remember those things that came in those like red sort of rectangular tins?
Huh. When was this? From like,
I don't know, like
1984?
I'm going to Google it here.
I don't know. I'm going to look up the thing that I like, that the actual because when I say that, it's like really it sounds You know, but if you go to the coffee thing, what's the one, like my favorite one?
You don't remember these?
Oh, wow.
They were like little rectangular
cans
of coffee. And I'm using air quotes, but you can't see them.
Yeah,
coffee.
Yeah.
International House of Coffees.
Wow.
The French Vanilla Cafe. And it was just like hot chocolate mix with that, like a coffee bean had passed by.
Yeah, I'd like to think that that's not what I'm having. But maybe I'm wrong. What's going on here? So this chocolate one.
Rich chocolate.
Rich dark chocolate flavor perfectly complements the malty notes of smooth Arabica?
Arabica.
Arabica beans. I mean, it's good. It's really good.
No thanks.
Oh, this is my jam. The rich caramelized flavor of roasted hazelnut delights with sweet velvety Arabica beans. It is good. It is really good. Which one's yours? If you guys don't know, we're looking at
Mine are a little different. Mine like...
yours are the square ones. Yours, the
yeah,
original.
Original.
Right here. There you go. Look at that. You just click on original, Doug.
You're shopping coffee with me. Keep going down.
Let's go. Right
that
here.
That one. Yep, that guy.
Mmm. Ristretto Italiano. Ristretto Italiano. Powerful and contrasting.
80 cents a piece.
Man, that's
Bam.
Good.
That's
Look
like,
at
like,
you with your like your other one. These are less expensive than mine.
Yeah.
I have this one.
Yeah.
Oh, man. See, these are all
I mean,
like...
mine are just espresso shots. Yours are like full cups of coffee, right?
Heck, yeah.
I mean, I just add water to my espresso.
Cheap. Doug's cheap. but that looks good, and I want one. So I'm going to go make one when I get home. Mm. But we do have a review.
Do we?
And hey, thanks for the review. This is great. It's from Death to Dad Bod.
So, didn't we talk about Death to Dad Bod?
I think this must be a second review because we have three listeners, so they have to repeatedly bring them in. So this is a long review, but hey, we're going to read it because it's all we got, really. And it's got a great ending. So it says, Chris and Doug, episode 20 on programming was so timely and helpful in providing perspective. It coincided with some of the internal dialogue I've had about my training over the past few years. So please accept my sincerest thanks. I stumbled upon CrossFit in 2012 and turned 50 last year, and between family, work, and life, there have been plenty of days where I didn't bring high intensity, that's quote, to the workout, but still tried to perform with intensity, which may have just been moving as best as I could for that day. Perhaps that's a fair redefinition for those of us that have a different stage in our CrossFit lives. I suspect some like to burn it down every day in workouts because it's hard. This is a great point. It says, because it's hard and our society is generally soft. So there's a physical and mental sense of accomplishment that people don't get elsewhere.
That's a good point.
It is a good point. And it's also, I think, something that is way overdone now. We've talked about this. Like, I don't need David Goggins telling me that I'm a wuss because I didn't run a marathon today.
Yeah.
Because guess what? Like David Goggins, you get tired of running too, and you're also a human.
Yeah.
And it's just like the whole persona.
And whatever his hard things are might not be the same hard things that I have.
Yeah. And the hard thing for him might actually be like reining back, dude, and taking care of yourself so you can still run.
Yeah.
But anyway, he goes on to say, I remember having that sense in the early days, but as Doug so ably stated, now there are days that I just don't have the bandwidth for that, and that's okay. I couldn't agree more. Also, extra points, Doug, for the subtle reference to Bill Murray's character in Groundhog Day. Me, also me. A question I've been meaning to ask for a while. If your kids, say middle school age, were interested into getting more into fitness, what movements would you focus on? What might a workout look like? Let's also say they're pretty active kids otherwise, have played sports, etc. So we'll tackle that in today's podcast, but this is great to finish it off. It says, thanks again for the great content, as always. Oh, a vanity plate I saw a couple of years ago. Red. I'm just going to say it so you can sound it out, okay? Yep. NVR 4 SKN.
Never.
You could say never for skin or never for skin. And so he says, my first reaction that Monday morning was, life. What does this guy have against foreskins?
Yeah. So, imagine if that was your plate.
What do you like? I don't know. What do you do? Are you a dermatologist that you were like, oh my gosh,
I
made a big mistake?
It's like having a name that everyone mispronounces all the time.
Oh gosh.
Right? And you have to explain it every time you meet somebody. And they're like, oh, yeah. Your name's Sue? I thought you were going to be a girl. Yeah. Like, oh, actually, it's a family name. You know, right? You have to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Every single time. You pull up in that car, people are like, foreskin?
Like, no, I'm a dermatologist. Or like, I'm a pediatric doctor.
Yeah.
I don't, like, what? Oh, man. So I got a kick out of that. That was a good one. But on that note, let's talk some of the kids' programming. So I've got, it's funny, my son does this cool project-based learning thing. And through it, one of the things they do is quite a bit of fitness. So they meet 3 days a week. They come to the gym and they work out. It's the first thing they do before they get into any kind of schoolwork type stuff. And I've been super thankful because that has been a gateway to have him learn to appreciate the value of working out. Because here's the deal. When your dad worked out for a living for a long time, your kids are probably like,
meh,
not cool, you know? And I'm happy to share some of the things that he's done, but off the cuff, if we go to the, hey, middle school age kids, play some sports, what would a workout look like? What are some movements? We've talked about this a lot, varied intensity, things like that. But I think kids at that age, especially if they're playing sports, can get a huge bang for their buck with strength training, like we've mentioned in the past. And I do think there's two things that come to mind, right? Is like building raw strength and building explosive power. And raw strength would be done through your back squat, your bench press, your push press. I would even say that sled pushes and drags are awesome. And then for explosive power, sled push and drag, depending on what weight you have on there and how you do it. A hang power clean and some sprints.
Yeah.
You know, but you, why don't you fill us in? Because like we've talked about, and if you guys don't know, Doug ran a teens performance program for, what, probably like 8 years?
Yeah, a while.
Yeah.
I think a while, yeah.
But the, I mean, when I think back to when you were running that, I feel like I saw a lot of that.
Yes. And like the structure of the classes was pretty intentional. And like how we rotated them through. Because most kids were going to come like, they're not like adults. Like yeah, they don't show up every day.
Yeah, they were like 2-3 days a week, right?
Yeah, a couple days. You know, like if I was there 4 days of the week, they would show up maybe twice. Some kids okay. who it was the only thing that they were doing would show up every day.
Yeah, but that was rare, huh?
It was pretty rare because yeah. most kids are doing other things. They're like, they're not exercise freakos.
Yeah.
Like at 14, they're not like, hey.
They're playing sports.
Yeah, they're playing sports. Yeah. Or even if they're not, they're like, you know, if they don't play a sport and they were showing up because it was their physical activity, they don't want to go every day.
Yeah. I mean, they're 16 years old.
Yeah. And you know, middle school kids, let's just say like, what does that yeah. mean? 13 to 15?
12 to 14.
12 to 14.
Basically, yeah.
So.
11, yeah. 11 to 14.
You know, the sessions looked a little bit different than like what I would traditionally do with like an adult. And it's because one, I saw them much less. So a couple days a week, probably.
Yeah.
Maybe I saw them three or four, but probably two. And then two, because so much of their session is them learning and not necessarily like getting jacked.
Yeah. Yeah.
That you can, I felt like I wanted to do more stuff because I wanted to expose them to a lot of things
yeah.
and have them practice a lot.
Yeah.
Versus like, you know, like kids wouldn't show up and be like, well, here you go, kids. It's 5x5 back squat day.
Yeah. Your football team was.
They were, but they would do like accessory stuff.
Oh,
and those
for
kids
sure.
were also like 17.
Yeah. But I would even argue that like that middle school kid, let's clarify this too, is when you say like a lot of practice, what that didn't look like to me was you standing in front of a group of 15 kids teaching the hang power clean for 20 minutes.
No.
That was like, hey, let's teach you the hang power clean in 5 minutes.
Yes.
And now let's do this EMOM or on the 2 minute
yep.
and let's just get reps in.
And they're doing it.
Right. And maybe some of those kids are building as you go.
Yep.
Maybe some of those kids are staying with an empty bar. Yes. Maybe some kids are like significant loading on the bar.
Yeah, that's a good point. It wasn't like, I'm going to say ready, go, and you guys are going to do a hang
yeah.
power clean with a PVC
for
stick.
20 minutes.
No way.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, as far as teaching went for kids like that and groups like that, I did way less like stand in front of the group and teach.
Yeah.
And more like, hey, this is your first day. I'm going to show you really quickly how to squat. I want to see you squat.
Yep.
And then I'm going to like say down and up and you do it. And then I just tell you what to do differently. So
yeah.
not so much teaching, but more just like seeing
directing.
How they move and just
yeah.
correct them. And then maybe they hold a dumbbell on their chest.
Yep.
But if this is a kid that maybe plays some sports and hasn't really ever lifted weights before and it's their first day in class.
Goblet squat city, huh?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. they're going to lift weights that day.
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
And you know what was like – I think so cool about that is just that there was no barrier to entry, right? Is
no.
it was just, I think sometimes, and we talked about this a few weeks ago with like assessments and things like that, which I think are tremendously valuable and things. But like at some point when you're talking about an 11, 12, 13, 14 year old kid, I'm a huge believer they're not going to hurt themselves if you put a training bar or an empty bar in their hands.
Yeah, they're not.
And you're like, hey, here's the deal, bud. We're just going to have you try to jump and land with the bar at your shoulders. Let's give that
yes.
a shot.
And guess what? Beginners look like beginners. And they
totally.
Might look horrible, but that bar weighs 15 pounds.
They're not going to hurt themselves.
They're not going to hurt themselves. Or you find something that you know they're not going to hurt themselves with.
Sure. Yeah. And maybe you're changing the squat pattern, or maybe if somebody's doing a hang power snatch, the new kid's doing a hang clean.
Yes.
Or maybe, you know, you change the complexity like we talked about. But like the beauty of that, I think, is that it gets kids into the group quickly. They get to experience what a class is like to see if they like it. Mm-hmm. And it's not, well, hey, Doug, we're going to have you in the corner using the PVC all class.
Yes.
Like, please stop. Like, Mom, can you come pick me up now? This sucks.
Yeah.
And then the accessory stuff afterwards, though, seems to be in kind of like a workout format, but also like really, again, we're talking like kettlebell swings, burpees, shuttle sprints, box jumps.
Yeah.
We're not doing muscle ups and squat snatches.
No. I mean, they might hang power snatch a dumbbell.
Yeah.
Like all kids can do that with a 2.5 pound plate or with a 15 pound dumbbell or whatever. Everyone can try to do that.
Totally.
And so every session that we had, I would like rotate through, if there were 4 days, I'd rotate through 4 different warm ups.
Yep.
And one would be like some plyometric stuff.
Like, yeah, like
they
ladders.
They just like skip and jump and like.
Yeah, I remember that.
Like do some ladder stuff and it's just fun. They're just going through it for 10 or 15 minutes.
Yeah.
One might be like maybe we play dodgeball or something. They might do you know, like some jumping rope.
Yeah, yeah. And I remember that. Or like broad jumps into sprints.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And all that stuff is like things that everyone can do.
Yeah.
And that they need to do a million times to learn to do properly. And you can coach them up as they go along, but everyone does everything.
And then it's kind of cool because there's also some other mechanics in there for the kids that are better or more experienced. You could work on running mechanics or just, you know, not that you have to spend 5 minutes teaching it, but you could just make note of it. Like, hey, Doug, when you're running, try to keep your knees over your toes.
And then weightlifting. So you mentioned, what lifts did you mention?
I mean, I think I'd categorize into two, right? Power lifts. So I'd be thinking primarily back squat, bench press, and a variation of a deadlift, right?
Yeah.
Those three. Probably off the top of my head, I'm thinking most kids, I'd probably be starting out like sumo dead.
Yes. And I always did that too.
Yeah.
It was just easier.
Yeah. Just easier to teach. I think because it's like probably a less familiar movement to them too, they'll probably be a little bit more diligent to like do it well.
Yep.
And then for explosive stuff, I'd like hang power clean, kettlebell swing, and then sled work like crazy.
Yeah. And usually what I did was I rotated, like they'd squat a day, always front squat for the kids that age.
Okay. Why front squat?
Because it was just way safer.
Yeah. Easier to bail. Don't have to worry about spotters.
Easier to bail. And like, no kid's going to fold themselves in half with the barbell.
Barbell's not rolling over their skull.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So always front squat. Not always, but
often.
Often.
Yeah.
And then we would sumo dead a day. Almost exclusively sumo dead. Some kids would regular deadlift if they got better at it.
Yeah.
And then a hang power clean.
Yeah.
Either with dumbbells or a barbell. And then either a push press or a bench press.
Yeah. So you've got squatting, hinging, pushing, and then a lot of your pulling, I think, actually comes in accessory work.
Accessory stuff.
You know, like you're doing pull-ups or dumbbell rows.
Yeah,
or
I don't think we ever did like, you know, hey, kids, we're going to do a Penlay rows, 5 sets of five. We never did that.
No. And like they, I think they'll get most of that from their workout, their quote-unquote workout ring rows and, dumbbell snatches
even. And people would be like, well, those sessions, it's like, well, you know, if you come from like a really traditional CrossFit sort of session.
They'd be like, that's not CrossFit.
Yeah, it's like you're doing three things.
Yeah.
Because we would do this like skill warm-up.
Yeah.
Sprinting or running or jumping rope or wall walks or like being inverted or whatever, right? They would do all that stuff. And then we would do the lifting session.
Yeah.
Take 15 minutes. So 15 minutes warm-up stuff. 15-minute lifting session.
Yeah.
15-20-minute workout session.
And I remember a lot of those workouts, or even maybe this was post-work, you do a lot of landmine work with the kids.
Yeah, a lot of landmine
work. So like a lot of, like, you get them in groups, so like the plates on the ground, and they were doing single arm push presses, and, you know, like it's, again, like really easy. There's so little complexity to it.
Yes.
But it forces stability. Like, your risk of getting injured is so low.
So low. With appropriate weight.
Oh, my gosh.
It's crazy.
And that always blows my mind, like this concept of people that are worried about having kids lift weights. I'm like, honestly, I wonder, like, where is this coming from? Like, what, and like, what are they categorizing that as? Are they picturing like, you know, the
like a
Chinese Olympic lifter that's, you know, clean and jerking 600 pounds? Because a 10-year-old can't do that.
Like a 10-year-old strapping on a weightlifting belt.
Yeah.
Like what, smelling salts and getting trap slapped.
I've never understood that argument. And I know people are like, oh, like your growth plates. And I'm just like, what?
The forces that kids like deal with when they fall off their bike or they do regular gymnastics.
I was going to say, or just like on an athletic field, cutting, like turning, changing direction.
Playing any contact sport.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, gymnasts, they come flying off bars and land like
peewee football.
Oh, my gosh.
Dude,
this
obliterated.
Is interesting. Some of those kids I trained for a long time were football players, And when they were really little, I would go – they're like, hey, come on out. Because how the whole thing started was I would sponsor the football team.
Yeah. Like there are parents in here. Yeah. And yeah, you had like a flag out there. And
so I went and watched them. And I was like, this is brutal.
Yeah.
These 12-year-old boys are just like smoking each other on this field. And I'm worried about like some kid's back rounding a little bit when he front squats 15 pounds.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and that kid just got laid out.
By a 8th grader that weighs 180.
Monster kid from Salt Lake. Yeah.
Totally.
So the forces they deal with in their sports are huge. That doesn't mean I think you should be reckless, but that weightlifting piece was always about practice mostly. And kids could use weight. That's hard.
Yeah.
And the challenge in that is you have to be all over them. You got to be like, add 5 pounds to it. Take that weight off. No, you don't use that. I know he's using that, but you don't use that. You put the 2.5s and 5s on there.
Yeah.
And, like, you got to watch them
constantly
and say no.
And here's the other thing, too, is, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but my assumption would be when you're working with an age group like that, the chances of pre-existing injuries are, like, either non-existent or way low percentage than if you have a 45-year-old walk through your doors.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, so tell me a little bit about your background. I'm like, well, you know, I played 3 different sports in high school.
Yeah.
I went in the military and did boot camp. And
I landed hard parachuting out of a plane and my back disintegrated.
And, you know, now I play pickleball for 4 days a week for 3 years and I broke my ankle. It's like, okay, bro's got history.
Yeah.
Where when you have an 11, 12, 13-year-old, it's like, hey, bud, what's your history? I was like, I just like play.
I just like play sports.
Yeah. And, of course, you're going to have some kids that are like, yeah, I tore my ACL or I broke my leg. And so it's like, okay, yeah. But for the most part, I think most kids that walk through the door, some kids are going to be really inflexible. Some kids are going to be really flexible. Some kids are going to have good awareness. Some kids bad. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, at the end of the day, having them just do stuff.
Yeah.
Let's just do it. Let's do the thing.
So the weightlifting pieces of that were nearly always about, my goal was to keep kids at a weight that felt tough to them, but also looked reasonable.
Yeah.
And I knew that if the wheels totally came off the bus, they were still going to be fine.
Yep.
No one's going to die. Like if two kids are spotting one another, and I'd have like 12-year-old kids spot each other bench pressing, you're going to be all over them. But I knew that even if that kid couldn't do it,
bro can help him pick it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or it was just going to sit on his chest. He'd be like, I can't push it up.
Yeah, right.
Not like it's going to crush him to death.
Smash my skull. Yeah.
And then the workout pieces, they were just like 15-minute mixed modality, lots of different things.
But
just
simple.
Simple.
And I would say like a chance for them to push the pace, you know? Like
yeah,
you,
kids
like,
could work really hard if they
totally
wanted to.
Like we said, like kettlebell swings, burpees, run around the building.
Yeah.
Box jumps.
Ring rows or pull-ups.
Yeah.
Push-ups.
But I'd say very
sprints.
Like there, it wasn't like barbell work was going down.
No, not typically.
No. Like you said, maybe some dumbbell snatches or hang power cleans.
Yeah.
Maybe partly like logistics with space, but also, you know, I think at that age, there's probably more value to them using things that force some control.
Yeah.
Where a barbell sort of makes it a little bit easier to do
and
that.
And then we'd always do like some ab stuff because the kids freaking loved it.
I remember some of those kids walking out of there like in borderline tears, dude, because they were not because of anything other than they tried to like beat their buddy.
Oh my gosh.
Remember that? Like the plank? Kids would go for like 8 minutes.
There were times when I would do some of the things that I just had the kids do. Like the next day, I'm like, that looked kind of fun. Maybe I'll try that. And yeah. I was dying. I was like, how are these kids doing this?
But they come back in the next day and they're like, hey, Doug, totally fine.
Yeah. You know, that's another lesson too. If you expose kids to those things, they get
adaptation,
so good,
crazy.
So fast. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. You know, like
we've seen
like
that
14-year-old kids doing planks for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
We got to end this. I have to make this harder somehow to make this thing stop.
Put a weight on their back.
Yeah.
Or everyone wins.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've seen that with my son. Just like over the past year or so. I wouldn't even say year. It's really been 6 or 7 months. And it's funny because, like I said, you know, I could have helped him with this stuff anytime. But because I'm dad, of course, he doesn't want to do that. having watched him. You know, he was starting off, and they were really similar, doing things like hang power cleans. And I think when he first started, he was, like, doing a hang power clean at 35 or 45 pounds, you know, empty bar.
Yeah.
And they finished up their program, and I think he did 100 pounds. Can you imagine if you put 50%, actually about 100%, 100% on your hang power clean, it's relative because it went with an empty bar.
Sure.
But I mean, he's like, shocker, this might surprise you, he's a small kid, right? And for that like to happen over that time, it's pretty remarkable how they grow and how strong they can get.
It's crazy. And the coolest part about all of it is that if you see these kids for a few years, because that was sort of my schedule with them, is like I would see them if they started when they were 12 or 13.
Yeah, until it's 16, 17.
You know, 16,
sometimes
17,
18.
Maybe they'd move or drift away. But when you teach those kids those things, so, like, I think that kids would come out of that program knowing how to properly squat.
Absolutely.
How to, like, manage a weight room, like, put clips on a bar. And
way
bar in,
better than anybody else.
Bar in and out of the rack.
Yep.
And what's important. Just the things I would yell at them all the time, right?
Right.
Like, hey, everybody remember, do this. They would just know that.
Yeah, like don't have weights under your bar when you squat. Clear the area.
Yeah, exactly.
Watch where you walk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Push your, like, look ahead or put your butt lower or whatever. They would know that stuff. And so they know all the lifts. If you asked them, they would know how to put together a workout, right?
Yeah.
So I would say, like, hey, guys, we're going to have a workout that lasts 15 minutes. Everybody give me a thing that you want to do.
Yeah.
And they would yell out 4 or 5 things and we put them together.
How cool is that?
And so they would know.
Teach them how to program.
And so I figure that these kids go off into the world and at whatever point they want to come back to it, they know, like, if I want to get strong, if I do these 3 or 4 lifts, I can do it. And this is how you do it.
And this is what heavy feels like.
And this is what heavy feels like.
Yeah.
And this is how you do the lifts. And then if I want to do a workout, this is how it looks.
Yeah.
And it's like playing golf, you know, they'll have it forever.
And I would even say, like, the next step beyond that too, and I think we've mentioned this in the past, is some of those kids walked out of there with insane levels of strength.
It's crazy.
And if they just, I would even say, like, moderately maintain that, I ain't going anywhere for a long time.
For a long
time. If you walk out of high school at 18 years old with a 400-pound back squat,
yes,
and you back squat once a week,
it's yours for a long time.
You're going to have that for another 15 years.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy.
Pretty, I think so for sure.
Totally. Can you imagine if you walked out of high school with a 400-pound back squat? I would put money on it if you were that young, and even if it was whatever, 300 pounds, right?
Yep.
And if you back squatted one day a week until you were 30, 35, I bet that wouldn't go anywhere.
No doubt.
If anything, it'd go up. Like, that's crazy.
It's nuts.
What a cool thing to give a kid.
And some of those kids who were doing those things were like, they became meatheads, you know? They wanted to work out all the time.
Yep.
They loved it.
I remember that. Like, but kids going to the rec center outside of it.
Yeah, like, they just can't get enough. But there were some kids that were, I think, just like pretty normal high school kids.
Oh, yeah.
And they would do those things as well. And, I mean, I had to train. This is different for you, but I had to train as an adult, like, to deadlift 315 pounds.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like I couldn't do it as an adult, and then I had to train to do it.
Right.
And if I had left high school deadlifting 400 pounds.
Oh, my gosh.
They would come into the gym and be like, yeah, I've been away from it for a while. Like, I go to the gym here and there, and you'd watch them do whatever the lift was, and you'd be like, oh.
You're pretty strong.
Like, you already know how to do this.
Yeah.
They would deadlift 315 easy.
Totally. Yeah. So maybe that gives you guys some framework, right? Is maybe don't overcomplicate it. Don't feel like it has to be anything like super special. I do think the low hanging fruit, like low risk stuff, is really helpful. And just make it fun.
Yeah. And that's the biggest deal, because, you know, I've written a lot of programming for that, and the programming is not the magic part of it. The magic part of it is, like, do the kids have fun? Does every kid have fun when they come in there?
Because that's what's going to keep them coming back.
You know, did, like, the meathead kids get the meathead thing? Like, junior varsity meatheads, 14-year-old boys who are, like, walking around with their sleeves cut off their shirt, right? Yeah. Like, can you see that and be like, okay, this kid's a meathead. How can I give meathead kid what he wants?
Yeah.
To, like, you know, kind of nerdy introvert kids.
Yeah.
And, like,
still make them feel comfortable.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they will not come back. If you suck and it sucks, they will not come back.
Not a chance. Not a chance.
But if they like it, they'll show up all the time.
Yeah. And they'll bring a friend.
And they'll bring somebody else.
Yeah.
So the magic is not really in the programming, honestly.
Do the main lifts, have kids practice it
and learn to do all the things. Have them do things that are fun that they like.
Yeah, be smart with safe movements, right? Yeah. No, that's great. Doug, do you have any pet peeves?
I do have a pet peeve.
I can tell you've been sitting on it.
Yes.
What do you got?
Well, it's starting to be, like, a little nicer out here.
Oh, man.
Occasionally.
Talk to me. Because I'm tapping out on winter, too.
And people... So, like, I like to go walk my dog on, like, you know, like... the sidewalk?
Yeah.
Or like there's this, like the path by the old gym.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It's like a legitimate bike path.
Yeah.
It's 6 feet wide.
It's 6 feet wide.
Yeah. It's a big path.
Right? So I'm walking my dog, just like chilling, doing my normal walk dog pace, 1.5 miles per hour.
Yeah. Just cruising, and sipping your coffee if you want.
Right, just cruising.
Yeah.
Why does, like, the Tour de France have to, like, buzz past me on the bike path, 6 bikers, like, riding in a pack doing 35 miles an hour on the path?
Oh.
I mean, it's a road bike. Get on the road.
I'm opposite. I can't stand when those guys are on the road when there's a bike path.
But they're more like motorcycles and less like people casually sipping coffee walking dogs.
I guess so, but when it's like on a when you're riding your Peloton, you know, and you've got your group of 6 guys and you think you're going to the Tour de France next summer, even though you're 48 years old. Yeah.
It's like the Indy 500.
But like, why are you doing that on the side of the road with like 3 bikers wide?
I mean, that also annoys me.
There's a bike path there for a reason, bro. Like, get on it. And if you see Doug walking his dog, just be like, on your left.
Or, like, slow down a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, these dudes flew past me. It's right by the interstate.
Did you jump?
I mean, my dog almost crapped his pants.
Was it Oliver or Kevin?
Kevin.
Of course he did.
I mean, like... There's like 6 of them. They're riding too wide.
Yeah.
Blasting past me. They must have been doing, I don't know, 25 miles an hour.
Yeah. Depending on when they are, 20 to 30. Yeah.
No, like, little ring-a-ding-ding. No, hey, slow down, single file on your left. But just like, I'm at the Isle of Man TT, 4 feet from the wall. Some dude's doing 190 miles an hour on a motorcycle.
I love it. Oh, that's good.
I feel like a grumpy old man, but...
You know.
I was like...
Get back here! Oh, man.
But yes, that's my pet peeve. Oh, and another pet peeve.
Yeah.
This happened to me the other day. You know how cars these days, and not when we were growing up, but these days have these fancy daytime running lights? So your lights are just sort of always on.
Always on. Right? Yep.
Which I like. Good for safety. That's cool.
Sure.
But when it gets dark, you have to like actually turn the lights on the car.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because you get like these 60% dim lights. Mm. But guess what else
really
you don't get? Tail lights.
Tail lights. They're not on, bro.
They're not on.
Yeah.
So I was on I-80 coming back from Dell.
Yep.
And there's sections
come up hot on somebody with no tail lights on.
I-80 where, and maybe this is in other states too, but definitely here out west, we have these sections where the speed limit is like 80 or 85 miles an hour. I think the speed limit out there on
Interstate 80
is 80.
Yeah. And then as you get in the canyon, it's 65. But
right.
Yeah, it's between 80, 70, 65. Yeah.
And I think on sections of 15, it's 80 or 85.
You're cooking.
It's very fast.
Yeah.
Right? And so if the speed limit's 80, maybe I was doing 83 or 5 or 6.
Maybe.
I don't know. You're doing almost 90 miles an hour, right?
Yeah.
And this car was in the right lane. I'm cruising in the right lane because that's where you should drive. P.S. Third pet peeve.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I ran in one of those today. And when they get passed like by five cars on the right.
Yeah.
Like, bro, what are you not
just
aware of?
Over. Everyone,
get out of the way.
In the right lane. Unless you're passing somebody, you should be in the right
lane. Yes. We've talked about
okay.
it.
Okay. But anyway,
totally. Get out of the way.
I came up on this car. Probably I was doing about 85 and it must have been doing 65.
Oh, gosh.
And it didn't have its no taillights.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Nothing.
I was like, Wheezy, I'm coming to see you.
Yeah.
Like, we are. Like, I have to swerve with the dirt bike in the back of the truck. I'm like, oh my gosh, this car.
Yeah.
So turn on your regular lights.
That's a good one. That's
daytime
funny.
Running lights don't count.
Because on that note, this will be my pet peeve. And God bless her. I love her. My wife, she sort of hasn't embraced this, like, fully, you know, technologically advanced vehicle thing, right? So about a year ago, we got a Hyundai Tucson. I think it's a great bargain.
Very practical.
Yeah, very practical. I think for like the money that they cost, you get a lot out of it. Stuff that when I got it, I was like, this feels like a spaceship. So because we hadn't bought a new car in a while.
Yeah.
And so when I got in it, I was like, everything's a touchscreen. There's no knob to turn.
Oh, yeah.
And it has like the lane assist thing where
it like nudges you.
Well, not just that, but it's not self-driving, but you could set it on cruise control where it's got like the adaptive thing, you know, where it keeps you at a certain distance and take your hands off the steering wheel.
Yeah.
And it'll stay in the lane.
And like bumper park cars sort of back and forth.
Yeah. Like kind of crazy, right? But anyway, one of the features is it has the daytime running lights, but it also has an auto thing, right? So
yes, if you just leave them in auto, they'll be off during the day.
Yep,
on
at night.
Yeah.
And so because in my truck it has that option too, so I just leave it on auto. Don't have to touch it. Don't have to mess with it.
Yeah.
The only thing I feel bad about sometimes is when it does that, since it's a high truck. Like,
yeah,
everyone already thinks I have my high beams on.
Sure.
But then if my high beams are, it's like it's really gonna blind you. But my wife, she still hasn't like embraced this. So whenever I get in that car, cause she drives that most often,
the lights are off,
dude. And then I start driving down the street at night and I'm that guy.
Why are
I'm like, why is this so dim? And then I'm like, oh my gosh, babe, like just leave it on auto. They're going to turn on and off on their own.
Yeah.
So I have to remember, to do that.
Remember when cars had lights that you had to turn off or else they would just be on?
Oh, yeah. Battery dead.
Yeah.
They were like the pull knob ones.
Those
like
were
click,
the
click,
days,
click.
Huh?
You would pull one out and it was that's how the Jeeps would work. You'd pull the knob out and it was like your regular ones and pull it out again. And it was your high beams. Push it back in. Yeah.
Remember if you got out of the car that it would make that noise if the lights were on?
Yeah. The dinging. Yeah.
That doesn't happen anymore.
No. Remember roll up windows, Doug?
I do.
Oh my
gosh, people
right?
probably don't remember those.
Crank windows. The crank. Put the window down. Remember gas stations where people pumped your own gas?
You know, we never had those.
Really?
Yeah.
There, you never had like the self-serve, or not the self-serve, but like, really?
No.
I think New Jersey still has them.
Like you have to.
Like you don't have an option in New Jersey. If you drive into a gas station,
a
someone comes out
like the
and
gas
pumps
station
your gas.
Attendance of America
oh,
Union has
and,
got a stranglehold on that.
And now here's my 12th pet peeve is the, would you like to tip? We talked about that the other week, right? Like
the tipping scene.
Yeah. Like, no, you just handed me food on a tray and I'm walking to my table.
Yeah.
Like no.
Someone poured a coffee into a cup and then handed it to me and asked for a $2 tip.
Uh-uh. No.
Like, well, first of all, this drip coffee was $3.
Yeah. And then it's like...
And you like transferred it from behind the counter 6 feet out of the thing to me. Like you poured it and then you turned around and handed it to me and asked me for $2.
If you just want to answer a few questions there.
That makes a $5 cup of drip coffee.
Not doing it. Mm-mm. No. It's how crazy is this though? For the first time, just like maybe 3 weeks ago or so, we had some people come in. It was very kind of them. And I put them through a one-on-one, and one of our other trainers put the other person through a one-on-one. And first time they've ever asked, like, hey, is there somewhere we can tip them? And I was like,
I'm like, here's
what?
A tip. Call your mother.
It's like nobody's ever offered that. I've never expected it.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, hey, this is a service
which
we provide.
Which is funny because we like have worked in the service industry, which is where tips typically come from.
Right. But for me, it's like it has never crossed my mind.
Yeah.
Right? If you do like a one-on-one session, I don't expect you to give me an extra tip. You know where the other funny one is though? And I can kind of see it, but you feel pressure from it, is a tattoo artist.
Yeah, I mean, that's some, like, weird tradition thing, too. It's like, do you tip your barber?
Right, like, I don't fully understand it, right? But I feel like if you don't tip your tattoo artist...
Like, they get pretty bent.
Yeah. Like, it's kind of this unspoken code.
Let me write you a check. Personal check here.
Oh, man.
Do you accept personal
and
checks?
If you guys are listening, you're a tattoo artist, like, great. I think that's something that makes more sense to me because, like, you're putting something on my body forever.
But
and if you do
not,
a great job.
Why not just put it in the rate?
And that's kind of how I look at it with, like, the one-on-one thing.
If if you want that and you want the rate, why don't you just charge me that?
Yeah,
That's why I look at it with one-on-ones.
Me too. And, like if you don't want to pay that, that's okay. You just don't have to do
this rate includes everything that I need out of this session.
Yeah.
Right? It's not like I'm charging $80 and then hoping that they give me 20 for a tip.
Yeah. We should be tattoo artists, Doug. What would your tattoo be?
That seems easy.
What would your first tattoo be if you tattooed someone?
If
you could tattoo anything on anybody, I would totally do it. If someone let me tattoo them, I would totally do it.
I mean, someone might let you do that. No one's going to let me do that.
Get out of here.
I mean, I would tattoo like a, think like a 1975 Grim Reaper. Yeah. Like with green ink. Just that crappy outline. Like all blown out and too deep and like like that. That's what I would do.
Perfect. If anybody wants one.
If you want one of those, you look me up.
Bring your own tattoo gun and ink.
Yeah.
Because we don't have it.
If you want one of those, I'm thinking just the outline, right?
Yep.
But like Grim Reaper hood.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You can't really see their face.
Yeah, big stiff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm going with.
On somebody, but it has to be on their ribs.
And like all crappy and blown out, like squiggly lines and like too deep. So it just like blooms out and maybe you get like this big green blob around it. Like a pretty 1974 done in somebody's garage tattoo.
I'm game. I'm totally game.
I'll even like...
Man, I want to fund this.
Like, put that fancy wash stuff on that they do. You know, like the foamy, iodine-y, smelly antiseptic wash.
Don't worry. It'll be totally sanitary. It'll look horrible.
Yeah.
But guaranteed that it's sanitary.
And then I'll take that piece of saran wrap and I'll like tape
wrap
it on
you. Yeah, wrap up.
And put some stuff underneath it. Some
it's
goo.
It's like, sweaty and
ooze
nasty.
Out of there for the next 3 days.
Oh, man. That when are you going to get yours finished? You got to get
know.
Yours finished,
I thought
finished,
about
dude.
It today.
Yeah.
I have this like giant outline tattoo that I've just not finished.
Get on it.
Just like so much of a process.
Do you think, that's the other question, is do you think like there's probably a bit of a taboo to not go back to the guy that started it, right?
I got to go back there and it like doesn't live here and I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just a lot.
Yeah.
And it's And we've talked about this, but it sucks. It's painful.
It's really hurtful.
People who like really like it, I think there's something wrong with you.
Yeah, I'd venture to say that.
Like, if you want to come over and I'll just scratch you constantly for 6 hours. We're happy to set the temperature to 50 degrees in this room. You can take your shirt off.
The worst.
And then take your shirt off and sit here and start shivering.
Totally. You're shivering, you get goosebumps, and then you're getting needles poked in them.
Yeah, and it's like, am I shivering because I'm in pain or because I'm freezing?
Totally, dude.
Or some combination of these things?
I'm always like wearing a beanie, you know, and trying to stay as warm as I can.
So that's fun.
Oh, gosh.
And then it'll just hurt for a few weeks. Start to flake off. You'll shed skin all over your sheets.
Yeah.
It's great.
And then you're like, oh, that's on me for the rest of my life. I wonder if I should have done that.
Hope you like it.
Well, hey, guys, good to catch up. If you have questions.
Or if you want a Grim Reaper
tattoo. If you want a Grim Reaper.
Pit Prison Ink.
Yeah, let us know. Oh, how about this? If you are listening to this and you have a tattoo that you regret, let us know what your most regretted tattoo is.
If you show up, I'll do a giant Grim Reaper
outline
cover up.
And if you don't have one, Doug will be happy to provide you with one. But hey, go train your kids, have fun with them, and tell them not to get tattoos.